So, again, we've got this view of power decreasing as an exponent of the distance. And that's referred to as excuse me, large-scale failure. But additionally, powers can fluctuate over small changes in distance or short periods of time, and those effects are referred to as small-scale fading. So, if two factors are going to influence small scale fading, multipath, as before, but now paths change with slight changes in distance. And then mobility, so the speed at which you're traveling, or eventually your environment is moving, can also change what happens. In particular, you get Doppler effects, which appear as a change in the frequency of the signal. How these effects impact on the signal itself depends on the bandwidth of the signal. As these effects can be frequency specific, so they may again impact the signal as a whole, or possibly just affect various frequency components of the signal. Okay, so again, if we look at our two-path example, then we can see our amplitude is a function of the time difference for two signals to arrive, and the phase difference of the two signals, that's what we were discussing before, but also possibly a shift in frequency due to a Doppler effect and the motion of the either transmitter or receiver. Okay. So typically, two main models are used to represent multipath properties for small-scale fading. And these are statistical models, which we're not going to get into the details of, but there's two possibilities. Either you have a dominant path, so your line-of-sight path usually, in which case you get what's called Ricean fading, or there is no dominant path, but you're again relying on the multipath effect in order to receive your signal at all, and this is referred to as Rayleigh fading. Okay. And for both of these, small changes in distances can have an impact, and the characteristics of that will differ with frequency. Okay. Okay. So, the relation between movement and frequency is what's referred to as a Doppler shift. You've probably heard it in some context already. And so again, this just means that the observed frequency of the signal is going to change due to motion. Okay. And so we look at an object moving at a velocity v along a path segment of length d while receiving a signal from a remote source. Okay. So you're going this way, your source is over there, and so you're slowly changing the distance that you are from the source. Okay. That changes relative to the angle you are at the source. Okay. So the change in distance is given by d cosine theta. And that's how far you move in a short period of time is given by the velocity times the amount of time you're in motion. Okay. Your change in phase is going to be change in 2 pi or change in distance over the wavelength, which again can be then linked back to the velocity you're moving at. Your frequency is the subject rate of change of phase. So since change of phase is related to the velocity at the top comes change of time, you get the frequency difference, the change in frequency is given by d over lambda cosine theta. Okay. So if you're moving towards an object, your frequency is increasing, so it appears that the periodicity is less than it actually is, and if you're moving away, it's decreasing. So, relative to the two effects, we can characterize the problems they cause. Relative to multipath, the problem is that our signals are experiencing different delays, and so that's referred to as a delay spread. And signals traveling different paths will also experience different Doppler shifts. Again, because the distances, the Doppler shift is related to the change in distance, and therefore you have what's called a Doppler spread. So, what we'd like is for those things not to be changing too much during the course of our signal transmission. And so we can categorize how much leeway we have by what's called coherence. So coherence time is a statistical measure of the time duration operation over which the channel response is essentially invariant. So if two signals arrive within the coherence time, then they're probably closely related to each other. The greater our Doppler spread, and again, if you think about it, so caused by both speed and the multipath effects, then the smaller the coherence. Similarly, we can look at coherence bandwidth. Okay, and this is a range of frequencies over which the channel can be considered to be flat or responding again to frequencies in the same way. Okay, and again, it will represent the frequencies over which the signals strongly correlated in terms of amplitude. This current bandwidth is related to specific multipath properties of the environment. But again, the greater the delay spread, the smaller the coherence bandwidth. Okay. Based on those aspects, we end up getting four different possibilities for fading, which may occur together or separately. So based on the delay spread, you can experience either flat fading or frequency selective fading. And again, for flat fading, the fading will be constant over the bandwidth of the signal. So these can be quite severe, significant power losses, but the spectral characteristics and hence the shape of the signal is going to remain constant. Flat fading is going to occur when essentially the signals all arrive within a relatively small time of each other, so within your coherence bandwidth. Yeah, sorry, within your time, coherence time. Again, the converse of that is frequency selective fading, and here the bandwidth over which the channel is staying constant is smaller than that of the transmitted signal, and therefore you're going to create distortions in the signal. This happens when the delay spread is greater than your symbol period, and hence you're also getting inter-symbol interference. So the effects of those, those effects are taking into account the frequency of the fading and the actual the bandwidth of the signal. Okay. So, additionally, related to the Doppler effect, we have fast or slow fading. And here, this refers to the channel response changing within the time of a symbol duration or being constant over a symbol duration. And so typically, you're only going to experience slow fading if you're transmitting that. If the slower your rate of transmission, the more likely you have a fast fading. Okay. Okay. So again, this just summarizes all of those effects. So again, what happens is that you end up with these effects being combined, and so you have with distance, you'll have rapid changes in your signal strength as well as slower changes. Okay. So those to a steady decrease. Okay. So, your power transmission lines is going to have to account for these changes in received power. Okay, and prediction system for determining how bad they're going to be. Okay. So we'll wrap up with an example. And so we'll look at flat fading versus frequency specific fading, and again due to a multipath signal, and so we're going to say something. We're going to leave it at two paths. Okay. With a specific delay then between the paths. So your maximum attenuation is going to occur periodically with your 1 over tau. And what we're going to have a look at is how that attenuation impacts on signals of various bandwidths or transmission rates. So our first signal obviously is slow, and then we are increasing our speed to a high speed signal. So our first very slow signal, which was called the narrowband signal, and so it's operating in a very small bandwidth. And so if we look at our channel characteristics, and we're getting a dip at every one of the tau's, and so relative to signal bandwidth, the attenuation of the signal is fairly constant. There's a lot of people who hits the dip itself, but other than that, it is fairly constant. But even that, you get a fairly constant attenuation. Okay, so the channel characteristics are near constant over the whole bandwidth of the signal. Therefore, the signal is attenuated, not distorted, it's experiencing flat fading.
Okay.
Delay spread is much less than the bit period.
So, yeah, the bits are, the two copies are arriving, so correlated to each other.
Now we have a medium band system, and so then the bandwidth or signal is increased here, and so we experience several dips over the bandwidth of the signal. And so it's experiencing selective fading. Okay. So the signal will be distorted but not attenuated. These portions of it are getting through completely. The multipath delay is longer than the bit period, and therefore we're having inter-symbol interference as well. And so you're going to need more efforts and algorithms to pick apart the different copies of the signal. Okay, finally we have a wideband system, and so we're experiencing a lot of delay, which is sort of loud. So again, you might think that we have essentially the same thing as you have in a medium band system. However, in sort of a preview of what's going on, we can actually use this to our advantage in essentially encoding lower rate signals in a way that brings them up to these higher rates. We use the encoding then to compensate for the fades. And since we're over spread our spectrum, if we can compensate for these fades, then our signal's also not attenuated. Okay. So as in the previous example, you're not experiencing the attenuation, you just have to sort out these fades. We use the encoding to do that, and therefore we get a transmission system that's not as susceptible to loss, and or the distortion. And we'll take a deeper look at spread spectrum systems later. So our final, this is again something we'll return to later, is what do we do about all of these small scale effects? And the answer is, well, we try to use some form of diversity to protect against this. And so this, what's diversity mean? But really redundancy. So we can have space diversity where we actually try and make use of the multiple paths to receive stronger signals. Frequency diversity where the signal can spread over a larger frequency bandwidth or carried on multiple frequency carriers. Or encoding techniques of sending a couple times or sends added information. Okay. So we're again going to return to this idea and have a look at again more sophisticated modulation techniques, namely spread spectrum techniques and orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. And then in conjunction with that, we'll look at multiple input, multiple output systems and see how they can be used to produce better quality signals. So that's it for today. And we'll continue on next Thursday. So I'll see you guys then. Okay. So, again, we've got this view of power decreasing as an exponent of the distance.
And that's referred to as
excuse me, large scale failure. But additionally, powers can fluctuate over small changes in distance or short periods of time, and those effects are referred to as small scale fading. So, two factors are going to influence small scale fading, multipath, as before, but now paths change with slight changes in distance. And then mobility, so the speed at which you're traveling or eventually your environment is moving can also change what happens. In particular, you get Doppler effects, which appear as a change in the frequency of the signal. How these effects impact on the signal itself depends on the bandwidth of the signal. As these effects can be frequency specific, so they may again impact the signal as a whole or possibly just affect various frequency components of the signal. Okay,
So again, if we look at our two-path example,
then we can see our amplitude is a function of the time difference for two signals to arrive, and the phase difference of the two signals. That's what we were discussing before. But also possibly a shift in frequency due to a Doppler effect and the motion of the either transmitter or receiver. Okay. So typically, two main models are used to represent multipath properties for small scale fading. And these are statistical models, which we're not going to get into the details of, but they have, there's two possibilities. Either you have a dominant path, so your line of sight path usually, in which case you get what's called Ricean fading, or there's no dominant path, but you're again relying on the multipath effect in order to receive your signal at all. And this is referred to as Rayleigh fading. Okay. And for both of these, small changes in distances can have an impact. And the characteristics of that will differ with frequency. Okay. So the relation between movement and frequency is what's referred to as a Doppler shift. You've probably heard it in some context already. And so again, this just means that the observed frequency of the signal is going to change due to motion. Okay. And so we look at an object moving at a velocity v along a path segment of length d while receiving a signal from a remote source. So you're going this way, your source is over there, and so you're slowly changing the distance that you are from the source. That changes relative to the angle you are at the source. Okay. So the change in distance is given by d cosine theta, and probably a delta v, and that's how far you move in a short period of time is given by the velocity times the amount of time you're in motion. Your change in phase is going to be a change in two-body, a change in distance over the wavelength, which again can be then linked back to the velocity you're moving at. Your frequency is the exaggerated change of phase. So since change of phase is related to velocity times change of time, you get the frequency difference, the change in frequency is given by v over lambda cosine theta. Okay. So if you're moving towards an object, your frequency is increasing, so it appears that your periodicity is less than it actually is, and if you're moving away, it's decreasing. So, relative to the two effects, we can characterize the problems they cause. Relative to multipath, the problem is that our signals are experiencing different delays, and so that's referred to as a delay spread. And signals traveling different paths will also experience different Doppler shifts. Again, because the distances, the Doppler shift is related to the change in distance, and therefore you have what's called a Doppler spread. So, what we'd like is for those things not to be changing too much during the course of our signal transmission. And so we can categorize how much leeway we have by what's called coherence. So coherence time is a statistical measure of the time duration over which the channel response is essentially invariant. So if two signals arrive within the coherence time, then they're probably closely related to each other. The greater our Doppler spread, and again, if you think about it, so caused by both speed and the multipath effects, then the smaller the coherence. Similarly, we can look at coherence bandwidth. Okay, and this is a range of frequencies over which the channel can be considered to be flat or responding again to frequencies in the same way. Okay, and again, it will represent the frequencies over which the signals strongly correlated in terms of amplitude. This coherence bandwidth is related to specific multipath properties of the environment. But again, the greater the delay spread, the smaller the coherence bandwidth. Okay. Based on those aspects, we end up getting four different possibilities for fading, which may occur together or separately. So, based on the delay spread, you can experience either flat fading or frequency selective fading. And again, for flat fading, the fading will be constant over the bandwidth of the signal. So these have been quite severe, and, significant power losses, but the spectral characteristics and hence the shape of the signal is going to remain constant. Flat fading is going to occur when essentially the signals all arrive within a relatively small time of each other, so within your coherence bandwidth. Yeah, sorry, within your time, coherence time. Again, the converse of that is frequency selective fading, and here, the bandwidth over which the channel is then constant is smaller than that of the transmitted signal, and therefore you're going to create distortions in the signal. This happens when the delay spread is greater than your symbol period, and hence you're also getting inter-symbol interference. So the effects of those, those effects are taking into account the frequency of the fading and the actual the bandwidth of the signal. Okay. So additionally related to the Doppler effect, we have fast or slow fading. And here, this refers to the channel response changing within the time of a symbol duration or being constant over a symbol. And so typically, you're only going to experience slow fading if you're transmitting that. If the slower your rate of transmission, the more likely you have fast fading. Okay. Okay, so again, this just summarizes all of those effects. So again, what happens is that you end up with these effects being combined, and so you have with distance, you'll have rapid changes in your signal strength as well as slower changes. Okay. So those to a steady decrease. Okay. So, your power transmission nonetheless is going to have to account for these changes in received power. System for determining how bad they're going to be. Okay. So we'll wrap up with an example. And so we're looking at a flat fading versus frequency specific fading. And again, due to a multipath signal. And so we're going to say something we're going to. Leave it at two paths, okay, with a specific delay then between the paths. So your maximum attenuation is going to occur periodically with period 1 over tau. And what we're going to have a look at is how that attenuation impacts on signals of various bandwidths
or transmission rates. So our first signal obviously is slow, and then we are increasing our speed to a high speed. So our first very slow signal is what's called a narrowband signal, and so it's operating in a very slow, small bandwidth. And so if we look at our channel characteristics, and we're getting a dip at every one of the tau, and relative to signal bandwidth, the attenuation of the signal is fairly constant. There's a lot of what hits the bit itself, but other than that, it's been fairly constant. But even there, you get a fairly constant attenuation. Okay, so the channel characteristics are near constant over the whole bandwidth of the signal. Therefore, the signal is attenuated, not distorted, it's experiencing flat fading.
Okay. The delay spread is much less than the bit period.
So, yeah, the bits are, the two copies are arriving, so they're correlated to each other. Now we have a medium band system, and so again, the bandwidth or signal is increased here, and so we experience several dips over the bandwidth of the signal. And so it's experiencing selective fading. So the signal will be distorted but not attenuated. These portions of it are getting through completely. The multipath delay is longer than the bit period, and therefore we're having inter-symbol interference as well. And so you're going to need more efforts and algorithms to pick apart the different copies of the signal.
Okay. Finally, we have a wideband system. And so we're experiencing a lot of delay. Again, you might think that we have essentially the same thing as you have in medium band system. However, in sort of preview of what's going on, we can actually use this to our advantage in essentially encoding lower rate signals in a way that brings them up to these higher rates. We use the encoding then to compensate for phase. And since we're over, we spread our spectrum, if we can compensate for these phase, then we're not, our signal's also not attenuated. Okay. So as in the previous example, you're not experiencing the attenuation, you just have to sort out these fades. We use the encoding to do that, and therefore we get a transmission system that's not as susceptible to loss and or the distortion. Okay, we'll take a deeper look at spread spectrum systems later. Okay. So our final, just again, something we'll return to later, is what do we do about all of these small scale effects? And the answer is, well, we try to use some form of diversity to protect against this. And so this, what's diversity mean? But really redundancy. So we can have space diversity where we actually try and make use of the multiple paths to receive stronger signals. Frequency diversity where the signal can spread over a larger frequency bandwidth or carried on multiple frequency carriers. Or encoding techniques of sending a couple times or sends added information. Okay. So we're again going to return to this idea and have a look at, again, more sophisticated modulation techniques, namely spread spectrum techniques and orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. And then in conjunction with that, we'll look at multiple input, multiple output systems and see how they can be used to produce better quality signals. So that's it for today. And we'll continue on next Thursday. So I'll see you guys then. Okay. So, again, we've got this view of power decreasing as an exponent of the distance. Large-scale failing. But additionally, powers can fluctuate over small changes in distance or short periods of time. And those effects are referred to as small scale fading. So, if two factors are going to influence small scale fading, multipath. As before, but now paths change with slight changes in distance, and then mobility. So the speed at which you're traveling, or potentially your environment is moving, can also change. Particularly the Doppler effects, which appear as a change in the frequency of the signal. How these effects impact on the signal itself depends on the bandwidth of the signal. As these effects tend to be frequency specific. So they may, again, impact the signal as a whole, or possibly just affect various frequency components of the signal. Okay, so again, if we look at our two-path example, then we can see our amplitude is a function of the time difference for two signals to arrive, and the phase difference of the two signals. That's what we were discussing before. But also possibly a shift in frequency due to a Doppler effect and the motion of the either transmitter or receiver. Okay. So typically, two main models are used to represent multipath properties for small scale fading. And these are statistical models, which we're not going to get into the details of, but there's two possibilities. Either you have a dominant path, so your line of sight path usually, in which case you get what's called Riesian fading, or there's no dominant path, but you're again relying on the multipath effect in order to receive your signal at all. And this is referred to as Rayleigh fading. Okay. And for both of these, small changes in distances can have an impact. And the characteristics of that will differ with frequency. Okay, so the relation between movement and frequency is what's referred to as a Doppler shift. You've probably heard it in some context already. And so again, this just means that the observed frequency of the signal is going to change due to motion. Okay. And so we look at an object moving at a velocity v along a path segment of length d, while receiving a signal from a remote source. Okay. So you're going this way, your source is over there, and so you are slowly changing the distance that you are from the source. Okay. That changes relative to the angle you are at the source. Okay. So the change in distance is given by d cosine theta. And that's how far you move in a short period of time is given by the velocity times the amount of time you're in motion. Okay. Your change in phase is going to be change in 2 pi, the change in distance over the wavelength, which again can be then linked back to the velocity you're moving at. Your frequency is the such a change of phase. So since change of phase is related to velocity, the top comes change in time, you give the frequency difference, the change in frequency is given by d over lambda cosine theta. Okay. So if you're moving towards an object, your frequency is increasing, so it's periodicity. The periodicity is less than it actually is, and if you're moving away, it's so, relative to the two effects, we can characterize the problems they cause. Relative to multipath, the problem is that our signals are experiencing different delays, and so that's referred to as a delay spread. And signals traveling different paths will also experience different Doppler shifts. Again, because the distances, the Doppler shift is related to the change in distance, and therefore you have what's called a Doppler spread. So, what we'd like is for those things not to be changing too much during the course of our signal transmission. And so we can categorize how much leeway we have by what's called coherence. So coherence time is a statistical measure of the time duration over which the channel response is essentially invariant. So if two signals arrive within the coherence time, then they're probably closely related to each other. The greater our Doppler spread, and again, if you think about it, so caused by both speed and the multipath effects, then the smaller the coherence. Similarly, we can look at coherence bandwidth. Okay, and this is a range of frequencies over which the channel would be considered to be flat or responding again to frequencies in the same way. Okay, and again, it'll represent the frequencies over which the signal's strongly correlated in terms of amplitude. This current bandwidth is related to specific multipath properties of the environment. But again, the greater the delays, the smaller the coherence bandwidth. Okay. Based on those aspects, we end up getting four different possibilities for fading, which may occur together or separately. So, based on the delay spread, you can experience either flat fading or frequency selective fading. And again, for flat fading, the fading will be constant over the bandwidth of the signal. So these can be quite severe, significant power losses, but the spectral characteristics and hence the shape of the signal is going to remain constant. Flat fading is going to occur when essentially the signals all arrive within a relatively small time of each other, so within your coherence bandwidth. Within your time, coherence time. Again, the converse of that is frequency selective fading, and here, the bandwidth over which the channel is staying constant is smaller than that of the transmitted signal, and therefore you're going to create distortions in the signal. This happens when the delay spread is greater than your symbol period, and hence you're also getting inter-symbol interference. So the effects of those, those effects are taking into account the frequency of the fading and the actual the bandwidth of the signal. Okay. So additionally related to the Doppler effect, we have fast or slow fading. And here, this refers to the channel response changing within the time of a symbol duration or being constant over a symbol. And so typically, you're only going to experience slow fading if you transmit that. If the slower your rates of transmission, the more blood
fading. Okay. Okay, so then this just summarizes all of those effects. So again, what happens is that you end up with these effects being combined, and so you have, with distance, you'll have rapid changes in your signal strength as well as slower changes. Okay, so those who are steady. So, your power transmission on the line is going to have to account for these changes received power. System for determining how bad they're going to be. Okay. So we'll wrap up with an example. And so we're looking at flat fading versus frequency specific fading, and again due to a multi-path signal, and so we're going to say something. We're going to leave it at two paths. Okay. With a specific delay then between the paths. So your maximum attenuation is going to occur periodically if you're 1/tau. And what we're going to have a look at is how that attenuation impacts on signals of various bandwidths or transmission rates. So our first signal obviously is slow, and then we are increasing our speed to a high speed. So our first very slow signal is what's called a narrowband signal, and so it's operating in a very small bandwidth. And so if we look at our channel characteristics, and we're getting a dip at every one of the tau, and relative to signal bandwidth, the attenuation of the signal is fairly constant. There's a lot of hits the bit itself, but other than that, it's been fairly constant. Even there, you get a fairly constant attenuation.
So, the channel characteristics are near constant over the whole bandwidth of the signal. Therefore, the signal is attenuated, not distorted. It's experiencing flat fading.
Okay. The delay spread is much less than the bit period. So, yeah, the bits are, the two copies are arriving, so correlated to each other. Now we have a medium band system, and so again, the bandwidth or signal is increased here, and so we experience several dips over the bandwidth of the signal. And so it's experiencing selective fading. So the signal will be distorted but not attenuated. These portions of it are getting through. The multipath delay is longer than the bit period, and therefore we're having intersymbol interference as well. And so you're going to need more efforts and algorithms to pick apart the different copies of the signal. Okay, finally we have a wideband system, and so we're experiencing a lot of delay, which is sort of loud. So again, you might think that we have essentially the same thing as you have in the medium band system. However, and sort of preview of what's going on, we can actually use this to our advantage in essentially encoding lower rate signals in a way that brings them up to these higher rates. We use the encoding then to compensate for phase. And since we're over spread our spectrum, if we can compensate for these fades, then we're not, our signal's also not attenuated. Okay. So as in the previous example, you're not experiencing the attenuation, you just have to sort out these fades. We use the encoding to do that, and therefore we get a transmission system that's not as susceptible to loss and or the distortion. Okay, and we'll take a deeper look at spread spectrum systems later. Okay. So our final, just again, something we'll return to later, is what do we do about all of these small scale effects? And the answer is, well, we try to use some form of diversity to protect against this. And so this, what's diversity mean? But really redundancy. So we can have space diversity where we
We actually try and make use of the multiple paths to receive stronger signals. Frequency diversity, where the signal can spread over a larger frequency bandwidth or carried on multiple frequency carriers, or encoding techniques of sampling a couple times or sends added information. Okay. So we're again going to return to this idea and have a look at, again, more sophisticated modulation techniques, namely spread spectrum techniques and orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. And then in conjunction with that, we'll look at multiple input, multiple output systems and see how they can be used to produce better quality signals. So that's it for today. And we'll continue on next Thursday. So I'll see you guys then. Okay. So, again, we've got this view of power decreasing as an exponent of the distance.
And that's referred to as
large-scale failure. But additionally, powers can fluctuate over small changes in distance or short periods of time, and those effects are referred to as small-scale fading. So, if two factors are going to influence small scale fading, multipath, as before, but now paths change with slight changes in distance. And then mobility, so the speed at which you're traveling, or eventually your environment is moving, can also change what happens. In particular, you get Doppler effects, which appear as a change in the frequency of the signal. How these effects impact on the signal itself depends on the bandwidth of the signal. As these effects can be frequency specific, so they may again impact the signal as a whole, or possibly just affect various frequency components of the signal. Okay, so again, if we look at our two-path example, then we can see our amplitude is a function of the time difference for two signals to arrive, phase difference of the two signals, that's what we were discussing before, but also possibly a shift in frequency due to a Doppler effect and the motion of the either transmitter or receiver.
Okay.
So typically, two main models are used to represent multipath properties for small scale fading. And these are statistical models, which we're not going to get into the details of, but there's two possibilities. Either you have a dominant path, so your line of sight path usually, in which case you get what's called Ricean fading, or there is no dominant path, but you're again relying on the multipath effect in order to receive your signal at all. And this is referred to as Rayleigh fading. Okay. And for both of these, small changes in distances can have an impact. And the characteristics of that will differ with frequency. Okay. So the relation between movement and frequency is what's referred to as a Doppler shift. You've probably heard it in some context already. And so again, this just means that the observed frequency of the signal is going to change due to motion. Okay. And so we look at an object moving at a velocity v along a path segment of length d while receiving a signal from a remote source. So you're going this way, your source is over there, and so you are slowly changing the distance that you are from the source. Okay. The change is relative to the angle you are at the source. Okay. So the change in distance is given by d. Cosine theta, and that's how far you move in a short period of time is given by the velocity times the amount of time you're in motion. Your change in phase is going to be a change in 2π, a change in distance over the wavelength, which again can be then linked back to the velocity you're moving at. Your frequency is the essentially the rate of change of phase. So since change of phase is related to velocity times change of time, you get the frequency difference, the change in frequency is given by d over lambda cosine theta. Okay. So if you're moving towards an object, your frequency is increasing, so it appears that the periodicity is less than it actually is, and if you're moving away, it's decreasing. So, relative to the two effects, we can characterize the problems they cause. Relative to multipath, The problem is that our signals are experiencing different delays, and so that's referred to as a delay spread. And signals traveling different paths will also experience different Doppler shifts. Again, because the distances, the Doppler shift is related to the change in distance, and therefore you have what's called a Doppler spread. So, what we'd like is for those things not to be changing too much during the course of our signal transmission. And so we can categorize how much leeway we have by what's called coherence. So coherence time is a statistical measure of the time duration over which the channel response is essentially invariant. So if two signals arrive within the coherence time, then they're probably closely related to each other. The greater our Doppler spread, and again, if you think about it, so caused by both speed and the multipath effects, then the smaller the coherence time. Similarly, we can look at coherence bandwidth. Okay, and this is a range of frequencies over which the channel can be considered to be flat or responding again to frequencies in the same way. Okay, and again, it will represent the frequencies over which the signals strongly correlated in terms of amplitude. This coherence bandwidth is related to specific multipath properties of the environment. But again, the greater the delay spread, the smaller the coherence bandwidth. Okay. Based on those aspects, we end up getting four different possibilities for fading, which may occur together or separately. So, based on the delay spread, you can experience either flat fading or frequency selective fading. And again, for flat fading, the fading will be constant over the bandwidth of the signal. So these can be quite severe, significant power losses, but the spectral characteristics and hence the shape of the signal is going to remain constant. Flat fading is going to occur when essentially the signals all arrive within a relatively small time of each other, so within your coherence bandwidth. Yeah, sorry, within your time.
where it's time. You know, again, the converse of that is frequency selective fading. And here, the bandwidth over which the channel is staying constant is smaller than that of the transmitted signal, and therefore you're going to create distortions in the signal. This happens when the delay spread is greater than your symbol period, and hence you're also getting inter-symbol interference. Okay. So the effects of those, so those effects are take into account the frequency of the fading and the actual the bandwidth of the signal. Okay. So, additionally, related to the Doppler effect, we have fast or slow fading. And here, this refers to the channel response changing within the time of a symbol duration or being constant over a symbol duration. And so typically, you're only going to experience slow fading if you transmit that. If the slower your rate of transmission, more likely you have a fast fading. Okay. Okay, so again, this just summarizes all of those effects. So again, what happens is that you end up with these effects being combined, and so you have with distance, you'll have rapid changes in your signal strength as well as slower changes. Okay. So those to a steady decrease. Okay. So, your power transmission on the line is going to have to account for these changes in received power. System for determining how bad they're going to be. Okay. So we'll wrap up with an example. And so we'll look flat fading versus frequency specific fading, and again due to a multipath signal, and so we're going to
that's two paths, okay, with a specific delay then between the paths. So your maximum attenuation is on the curve periodically with your 1 over tau. And what we're going to have a look at is how that attenuation impacts on signals of various bandwidths
or transmission rates. So our first signal obviously is slow, and then we're increasing our speed to a high speed. So our first very slow signal is what's called the narrowband signal, and so it's operating in a very small bandwidth. And so if we look at our channel characteristics, and we're getting a dip at every one of the tau, and relative to signal bandwidth, the attenuation of the signal is fairly constant. There's a bad one, it's the bit itself, but other than that, it's been fairly constant. Even that, you get a fairly constant attenuation. Okay, so channel characteristics are near constant over the whole bandwidth of the signal. Therefore, the signal is attenuated, not distorted, it's experiencing flat fading.
Okay. The delay spread is much less than the bit period.
So, yeah, the bits are, the two copies are arriving, so correlated to each other. Now we have a medium band system, and so again, the bandwidth or signal is increased here, and so we experience several dips over the bandwidth of the signal. And so it's experiencing selective fading. Okay.
So the signal will be distorted but not attenuated. These portions of it are getting through. The multipath delay is longer than the bit period, and therefore we're having inter-symbol interference as well. And so you're going to need more efforts and algorithms to pick apart the different copies of the signal. Okay, finally we have a wideband system, and so we're experiencing a lot of delay, again, you might think that we have essentially the same thing as you have in a medium band system. However, in sort of preview of what's going on, we can actually use this to our advantage in essentially encoding lower rate signals
a way that brings along these higher rates. We use the encoding then to compensate for the pays. And since we're over, spread our spectrum, if we can compensate for these fades, then we're not, our signal's also not attenuated. Okay? So as in the previous example, you're not experiencing the attenuation, you just have to sort out these fades. We use the encoding to do that, and therefore we get a transmission system that's not as susceptible to loss and or the distortion. Okay, we'll take a deeper look at spread spectrum systems later. Okay. So our final, just again, something we'll return to later, is what do we do about all of these small-scale effects? And the answer is, well, we try to use some form of diversity to protect against this. And so this, what's diversity mean? But really redundancy. So we can have space diversity where we actually try and make use of the multiple paths to receive stronger signals. Frequency diversity where the signal can spread over a larger frequency bandwidth or carried on multiple frequency carriers. Or encoding techniques of sending a couple times or sends added information. Okay. So we're again going to return to this idea and have a look at, again, more sophisticated modulation techniques, namely spread spectrum techniques and orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. And then in conjunction with that, we'll look at multiple input, multiple output systems and see how they can be used to produce better quality signals. So that's it for today. And we'll continue on next Thursday. So I'll see you guys then.